Right, this is side two of the tape with Mr. James Spedding. We're talking about his life as a warden. Mr. Spedding, if you'd like to tell us, when did you become a warden?
Well, I think it was about 1947, 48. We always have had seagull eggs to eat at the beginning of the year, the black-headed gull egg. But I've always fished in the river and around, kept my eye on it. But I was up there one day and a pal had a basket full of black-headed gull eggs, but also sandwich tern eggs. And I said, you can't take those, they're a protected bird, illegal. I took them off him, and I then became interested, and I saw Bewley, I rang Bewley Estate, one of their agents, and spoke about looking after it, and ever since I've looked after it one way or another, with their permission, and with the support of the various legal bodies, you know, the RSPB, and now English Nature, or Nature Conservancy Council, operating under the Environmental Council auspices. And I suppose, apart from one year when my son operated, I've done it every year since then. And the laws have been tightened up tremendously since then. And in the 81 Wildlife and Countryside Act, it took over completely the area, and one section called Seagull Island was closed for 12 months of the year, excepting for prawning. And the rest is only opened for license holders after the breeding season is over, which basically we look at the end of July, beginning of August, is usually the young birds are all flying by then, should be safe by then. But otherwise Seagull Island is closed except for prawning, and the prawning doesn't take place on Seagull Island but out on the outer banks of low tide. But in all that, there have been so many changes in law. And initially, there was so much intervention from yacht owners, boat owners, and the locals in wanting to go and get eggs, and egg collectors. And we've had various prosecutions over the years. But of course now, with the Act so well defined, the law, I can call on the law at any time. You know, the police, so the thing is pretty well controlled now.
Were there a lot of people collecting eggs before then?
No, only just a few locals would do it. On the Lymington Marshes, apart from here, and Southampton Water, is a massive nesting areas there as well. So the eggs were collected, and still are, but it's all done under licence now. That is the egg of a black-headed gull. None of the other birds' eggs may be taken now.
Could they be taken before?
No, only possibly, some of the ducks, yes, and we do have some local breeding ducks, but they are used now. But basically, herring gulls and lesser blackbacks and blackbacks around the country on the cliffs were taken for food, as were gannet chicks and certain chicks. The gull chicks in Middlesbrough and certain areas of Yorkshire were taken as food because the young birds, before they fly, are completely covered in meat. They're so well fed by their parent birds, the various, you know, fishes and things, that they develop huge fleshy proportions. But once they get their flight feathers, then they lose all that, because to fly they have to be very light, don't they? So, but basically the black-headed gull egg is the only one at this time allowed for food in the British Isles.
But do you have many people trying to steal any?
Not now. We've caught so many by being diligent. I mean, I used to patrol every day in the initial years in my own little boats, a little black clinker boat and another little dory I've had for years. But I would patrol, and weekends especially, and then at night I've always got my window open, and I would hear the gulls making noise, and I would dash up there. I've caught people at night. We've had all sorts of people from the Isle of Wight, yachts people, but now, and local people.
And what sort of eggs would they be after?
Only the gull egg to eat. It's a delicacy, or considered to be so. It is a nice egg to eat, but so is the herring gull egg is nice, or when it was open for eating. Great. All eggs are good, blackbird egg. As kids, rook's eggs, we used to climb the trees for the rook's eggs as kids and eat them. Moorhen's eggs, they're beautiful. The wild duck egg, the mallard egg is a beautiful egg. Pheasant eggs, all eggs are good, apart from, you don't have to have domesticated chickens. They're all good to eat in their initial stages. Once they've started to incubate, well, you wouldn't want to eat them, but basically, when we were young, we would take the moorhen egg, which was permissible, but we would mark those that we left, so that we never took those, and we were taking the fresh ones every other day, but only did it for a couple of weeks, so we had moorhen eggs for breakfast, then we would have rook eggs or seagull eggs, and they're great eating.
So
not the little tiny birds, of course.
Have you had any rare birds?
Here?
Yes.
We do get rare birds every year. But, principally, I suppose we try not to mention them because there are certain birds that come through here, indigenous to America, to the American continent. We do have a bird, like we had a bird here last year, the hoopoe. I can take you and show you where they're bred in Kent even. I've got photographs of them from here, just up the Exby Road. But on the marsh is the seabirds. Because they are colonies, or colonists, like the black-headed gull and the various types of tern, they congregate together in colonies or communities. Well, they are aggressive to any other bird. We do have another type of gull here. We've had it for quite a few years. We used to have four pairs of them, but they've been eliminated by storms and other means, sadly. And the other birds are aggressive towards them. It's a beautiful bird, but for here, it's rare. But if you go to the continent, there's masses of them. So they're not rare in that way. They're only rare here, and they're not in their natural environment. So we don't really, the only, why we don't elaborate and tell people they're here is because egg collectors would want to come, those who want a black egg. We have got various egg collectors here. We had one, I think he had 15,000 eggs. And we lost 140 sandwich tern eggs one year from a specific area where they'd moved to because they were congested in another colony. And this person, he had that same number, but we couldn't prove. If the ministry had done an atomic test on them, we could have proved that they came from there, and the exact date and everything, or done a particular test, which I asked, but it wasn't done. But the man was prosecuted and the collection was taken, yeah. But I know it was the eggs that we lost.
So what would have happened to the collection of eggs?
Well, they sell them, these people, or some of them, it's like people collecting china and things. This man had, he had so many, well, he had 140 of this sandwich tern eggs, but he also had other eggs, little terns, but he also had land birds. He had goldcrests, not one. He had larks, maybe 20, 30, because eggs are often, in many circumstances, the eggs vary in colour and types of markings on them. Dots or squiggles, so you see to them, I'll show you in a moment, you know, some tern eggs there, they're pretty. But you see to a collector, he wants them all different, and if it came to hundreds, he would have them because, and this man was, it was elaborate, he had baize lined boxes made, you know, wooden varnished boxes made with a baize lining, and all these eggs, and they're a wonderful collection. But if you do that, if you get many people doing that, there'll be no birds left, you see. I mean, the people who ate the gull egg and the various other bird eggs, remember the avocet, you see, over on the east coast when there were masses of them, they were almost wiped out when people took them to eat until now they're back again, like many other species. But you see, the people who lived in the areas only took what they wanted. Like, we were only allowed to take moorhen's eggs just for a specific time and only so many. You know, our father said, that's enough, now you leave them alone, as we won't have any next year. And that's the way people are with the bigger gull eggs, you see, just for food. It's like we catch fish for food, we have meat for food, or whatever. And it equal, the egg is equal to that. And it's food. Good food value, good protein. And so I'm all for, as long as we do it by the correct methods, there's nothing wrong, it's like our fish. We take them at a certain size. We do not take them when they're this or that size. We take them at a size when they're enough to eat. We don't take the little ones, and we don't take the very big ones. So you've got breeding species coming along all the time. And this is, and unless you deal with that with nature, it's like whatever you have, your crops in the field, you have to look after them like your, and if you use chestnuts or whatever, or nuts from the woods, which we always did as kids, you look after them. You don't cut the tree down because you don't have any more if you do. And that, I think, is all of life. Unless we live that way, we're destroying our own environment and our own lives. In a way that I'm glad to have been part of that control of our environment.
So how big an area were you are you warden of?
Principally, I wouldn't like to say. It covers a length of, say, maybe a mile and a half, nearly to 2 miles, and maybe only a quarter of a mile wide. It's not a huge area. We used to cover Exbury marshes as well, but basically I can see everything from my house, so it's not difficult. And so I can see every inch of it, and I can see more from my house. I do patrol sometimes when the terns are there, just weekends at a bad time, but otherwise than that, I can see more from my house. I can see if the birds go up, I know there's someone disturbing them. If it's a dinghy near or a windsurfer, I can flash a mirror at them Or they don't. They just go in and sail and go on out again. But if it's someone land, then I immediately ring the police or local authority. We have various means, the harbour master and people. We can get there in minutes. Or the local keeper up there would be there, where I would have to get in my boat and go, and he'd be there in his truck in a minute, you see, to an area, or the police would come in the other way. We've even had the helicopter service in to catch some. Yeah. We've got a good, shall we say, system going of apprehending people if we want, even at night. Yeah, we've had them, yeah. I've patrolled at night. You know when someone's there, you hear a noise, and I've always got my window open. If it's blowing a hooli or raining hard, well, there won't be anybody there, because they won't want to be there, because it's quite dangerous in a small boat if you try it. But quiet nights, moonlit nights, you know. It's used. You get used to this, and you hear a noise or something, and then I'm awake immediately. So my life has been full up, really, and for 5 months of the year, it is rather, I wrote a thing the other day to the English Nature that it said hours, and I put 24 hours a day for 5 months, which, relative, that is what it is. I do sleep quite a bit of that time, but one has to be conscious that at any time in that 24 hours, I would be alerted or have to do something. So today, the phone is in more use than other things, but it's because of it's an act of Parliament now which controls this. I'm able to rely on the police and other forces to do the job.
So how is your...